Look out, Toronto. Daddy's coming home. That's right. I'm going to be back in my hometown of Toronto, Ontario. That's where it all started for me, doing stand-up at the Royal Theatre, April 12th, 7 p.m. show and 10 p.m. show. So cool to be coming back where it all started for me. So the Royal Theatre, April 12th, 7 and 10 p.m., one night only. Get your tickets, gang. They're going fast and want you to come out and have some laughs. So see you there.
So I'm walking along the beach in my lemon lime Crocs. I don't know what color yours are, but Daddy likes to party with the lemon lime Croc, man. Dibamba Ross Croc, man. Everybody else take the color they want, but I'm gonna have the Bamba Ross lemon lime Croc on me feet, man. Blood clot the rumba, rumba bumba. I don't, that's...
You're riding down the Harland Highway.
All right, hold tight on the Harland Highway Show.
Harland Williams.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that's right. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You right here on the Harland Highway podcast today. Wow. We're doing a Cajun. Look at this. I got to show you this. I got my Cajun t-shirt on. Look at the lobster broil and the crawdaddy and all the Cajun acrimony on the t-shirt. Going full Cajun today, going in 100% Cajun. I don't even know why I do the Cajun thing. I have no idea. It just feels good. It rolls off the tongue. It just kind of, you know, go to back of the throat and it kind of get stuck down in the epiglottis. And it just kind of, you know, get a little jammed in the nasal cavity there. And it just kind of suck your whole face in into participating in verbalizing. As only the Cajun language can. Whereas when you talk clear and crystal clear like this, it's just coming out of your mouth. But when you go Cajun, oh man, you suck your whole face in. It's like, you ever see a rotten pumpkin? You know, jack-o'-lantern, and after about 7 weeks, it's like just sucked in. Try talking Cajun. Like, if you want us to take like a 20-second silence where you can just say your name, say, hi, my name is Harland William, and today I'm talking Cajun. So say your name, and just, I'll give you 20 seconds. Go. There it is, 20 seconds, and I bet you, could you feel it? Just working. So welcome to the Harland Highway podcast today. Today my co-hosts are the Tender Frienders. They're here, the Tender. How are you, boys? Well, okay, same to you. That wasn't very tender. Okay. Wow. The Tender Friender in the house. The Cajun Tender Friender. Before we get going, I just want to say thank you to all of you watching, subscribing. Can you believe we just hit 70,000 subscribers? What? Like, I think it was just a month ago I was asking everyone to subscribe because we hit 60,000, and now it's like 10,000 more, and just keep it coming, man. It's a great thing. It lets me know that this thing we're doing here is working. It's appealing to people. It's got the right Cajun spice. So thank you, everyone. Today we're doing a little bit of a solo show. I had a guest and they canceled, but that's okay. Because believe you me, I got enough to talk about on my own time, believe me. And I want to start with a conspiracy theory. I don't know how many of y'all are conspiracy theorists, but yours truly doesn't usually buy into the conspiracy theories, but I went on a deep dive. I wanted to clear some nonsense up. I wanted to get answers. And so through my diligent research, my answers will now become your answers. And they're free of charge, no fee. Nothing will be mailed to your home. There'll be no monthly payments. This is free. And it might, if nothing else, just clear your conscience, clear your head, get rid of things you've been thinking about your whole life. And now you can finally just go, okay. Okay, if you want to do it Nicolas Cage style. There's two okays in the world, ladies and gentlemen. There's just okay. And then there's the Nick Cage style. It's like okay. So it's up to you which one you want to do. I'm not going to judge. I'm not even going to judge Judy. So here's my conspiracy theory. Wow. It starts in the 60s and it deals with the assassination of JFK. Let's run down some events, okay? In the early 60s, a conspiracy, a myth, a legend sprung up when about an 18-inch footprint was found in a forest, a large humanoid ape-like footprint, and they dubbed it the Bigfoot. This was the first time we'd ever seen they had one picture of a giant footprint, looked like a human footprint, but just 18 inches, big footprint. So we've all got that image of that solo footprint emblazoned in our mind. And you ask, well, how does the footprint of Bigfoot, the first footprint of Bigfoot, play into the assassination of our beloved president JFK or KFC if you like a fat president? Here's how it plays in. Here's how they're linked. First of all, let's talk about how elusive the legendary Bigfoot is. We have the footprint. Apparently it's real, and we've never physically laid hands on a true Bigfoot. Why? Is the government hiding something? Does the government not want us to know? Is it kind of like UFOs and aliens where we're pretty damn sure there's something out there, and we're probably pretty damn sure that the government knows something about something, but for some reason isn't telling us? And why am I doing this? Because I've got a little bit of Nicolas Cage in me. So here's how I was able to kind of thread all of this together, create this conspiracy tapestry and unweave the strands, if you will. So we start with the big footprint, okay? That's in the 60s. Cut to the 60s, the late 60s, JFK, or KFC if you're a fatty, gets shot, okay? He gets shot. Some say it came from a window in the book suppository, and others say it came from the grassy knoll. All scientific and forensic research seems to indicate that JFK's head went back, he was shot from the front. You can even see it in the famous Zipruder film or whatever it's called. JFK does not get shot and slouch forward. He takes the hit and his brains basically fly. His whole head goes backwards. And it sort of debunks the whole theory of Lee Harvey Oswald up in a book suppository at a very difficult range, a very difficult angle, a moving target, shooting him precisely and accurately from behind. If you watch carefully at the breakdown, the forensic breakdown of any of the bullet entry points and the angle, the trajectory, all these big words that many of you don't know, many of you don't hear those words tossed around up at DeVry, where you go. So just ride with this. Ride with this, okay? So now we have to conclude, at least I do, as the conspiracy theorist breakdowniest, which is Greek for guy who breaks down conspiracy theory. Now I have to conclude that based on the forensic evidence that the shots were fired from the grassy knoll. Okay? So let's cut to, for a minute, the same day Kennedy was shot, which was early morning, I believe, or just around lunchtime, sun high in the sky. Let's cut to just a little ways away in a forested area on the same day, the famous film footage of what they believe to be the only legitimate Sasquatch. You've seen it, that one where the thing's lumbering, he's got his arms swinging, he's lumbering across the creek bed into the pine trees, he's just lumbering, and then he does that famous look back, and he's sort of like in a hurry. Well, isn't that interesting? What hurry does a Sasquatch need? Where does Yeti need to be? Is there a brunch over by the boulders? Is somebody having a Alcoholics Anonymous session over at the community center? What's the rush, Nacho? So now if you kind of start to put the pieces together, let's talk about a grassy knoll. Hey, everybody, weird question, but do you want to smell like a zero? I want to tell you about this product called Mando, okay? It is this unbelievable application you put on your body, and it will stop your stink for over 72 hours, if not more. It can go in your armpits. It can go on your butt crack. It can go down in your man areas. It can go in the folds, in the skin, wherever you want to put it. This stuff is clinically proven to stop the odor. It's Mando, and it's from the makers of Lume deodorant. It's clinically proven to stop odor for 72 hours wherever you stink. So make the switch to Mando, the whole body deodorant, and smell like a zero every day. I have a special offer to tell you about right now. New customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code and link, okay? Use code Harland at shopmando.com. shopmando.com. And this stuff, I've had it on. It gives you confidence. It makes you feel stink-free. I mean, when the soap and water wear off, people, the Mondo just keeps giving. It knocks out the stink, and it prevents any stink from, it just cuts it off at the beginning, cutting off the stink. It's safe to use anywhere on your body, and it was created by a doctor who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. So this is clinically proven to block the odor all day and for up to 72 hours. It's baking soda free, paraben free, pH balance, and safe to use below the belt. Clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap. Don't forget, the starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping, okay? And don't forget, as a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Mando starter pack with the code Harland. Harland at shopmando.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit shopmando.com and use the code Harland. So there you go. Stop stinking, start thinking, and let's go. Now that we're odor-free, let's get back to the show. okay? Where have you ever heard the term grassy knoll ever before? Only in Dallas, Texas. Have you ever gone to New York and said, hey, let's go to the grassy knoll? You ever been down in Atlanta? Hey, let's go to the grassy knoll. You ever been over in California? Hey, man, let's go to the grassy knoll, dude. No. Only in freaking Dallas, right in front of where El Presidente took the El Beletos, is there a grassy knoll. You don't hear that term anywhere. You don't see a grassy knoll. Everywhere else, it's just hills, lawns, grass. What is a knoll? Who the hell came up with knoll? Somehow there's a grassy knoll in Dallas right where the assassination took place. So just so you know, a grassy knoll is sort of a grass-covered hill. Now we're talking about a grassy knoll in Dallas in the 60s when the city was not that developed. Okay? There was room for a grassy knoll. There was space. There wasn't the architectural clutter that there is now. What city has room for a grassy knoll? I mean, do you know the prices of real estate in Manhattan, in Los Angeles, in Miami, any city, Dallas? Like a patch of land the size of Chardet's forehead is worth $4 million. So there ain't no grassy knolls hanging around. That grassy knoll's probably worth a fortune. It's right downtown. That's prime real estate, that knoll. So here's the deal. Why was there a knoll? We don't know, but there was. It's grass in a city, but back then when the city wasn't as populated by architecture, what does a grassy knoll evolve into? You have to look beyond the knoll and look at where it goes. So a grassy knoll, if you keep walking, it eventually becomes unkempt. Okay? A grassy knoll is probably manicured. It's probably been landscaped. It's in the city. It's right downtown. They want it to look pretty. But what happens when you start walking towards the far recessed end of El Grassy El Noli? Well, now the grass starts getting a little higher. Here's that word again, unkempt. The grass gets higher. The weeds start growing. The shrubs, you see where I'm saying? The further along you go, the thicker the grassy knoll gets, almost like a dirty lesbian's bush on a hot summer night. What? So as you keep traversing the grassy knoll, the deeper you get into it, the further along you go, it evolves into a field. Now you got the knee-high grasses. You got the knee-high grasses. You're like Gladiator walking in a dream sequence, touching the tips of the grass with your Gladiator blood-soaked fingers. And you're walking through the grass, and then the grasses graduate into shrubs, and then into weeds, and then into small plants and trees. And eventually, folks, it evolves into a full-fledged forest. Now let's examine again the interesting, hasty gait of one said Sasquatch. The Yeti. Do you remember how he was walking through the... He's got his arms swinging and he looks like he's in a bit of a... And he does that look back. Well, if that isn't the look, ladies and gentlemen, that famous film clip of that Sasquatch walking through that forest, the way he's doing it and the way he looks back, if that's not the look of a mythical beast that just shot a beloved president. Right? Are you seeing how this is patching together? You've got a Sasquatch. Okay? He doesn't want parkland developed. He wants forests preserved. He wants to stop the timber industry. He wants to maintain his environment. Who's at the top of the pecking order? Who signs the permits for lumber and timber industries and mining and fishing and all the things that disrupt and destroy the natural environment of a hairy yeti Sasquatch. It's the president, gang. It's the top dog. It's the KFC, crunchy or regular, spicy or mild. In a Sasquatch's mind, that guy has to be stopped. And so what do you do? One sunny day in the 1960s, while the hippies are smoking their reefer and sniffing the corns on their dirty dog dirt stained feet, old Sasquatch sees the timber industry starting to chip away at his beautiful land, his sacred forest. He's seen the mining companies come in. His world is shrinking. He's got a family and relatives to think about. There's other Sasquatches out in the forest. And so he's going to do something about it. He follows the trees into the brush, into the field, into the grassy knoll. And this is America, ladies and gentlemen. We all know it is. This is the US of A. This is Texas, where they eat guns for breakfast. It ain't hard to get your hands on a rifle or two. So as old Harry Buns is trucking out of the forest and making his way slowly to the grassy knoll, sure, he picks up a rifle or two. Picks up a rifle. Here comes Kennedy down the street, waving, his beautiful wife by his side, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. For some reason, they had the Greek name in there, even though she wasn't married to him yet. And here he comes waving to the throngs of fans, the people who adore him, who voted for him, who didn't vote for him, one of the most beloved presidents, if not the most beloved president of the United States of America, the most powerful country in the world. Or as Don Knotts would say it, the most powerful country in the world. Here he comes. Here comes the guy in his shiny black limo, his pearly whites, his perfect hair, and the world loves him, except for one dirty, moss-stinking Sasquatch, hiding on the grassy knoll with a loaded Colt 45 Smith & Wesson 52 97 C3PO RTDT repeater round right chamber made racketeering the piston turbine rifle. The guys know what I'm talking about, the guys. And he's laying there, and here comes the president. The world couldn't be brighter. The president whose very hand signed the decrees to let the foresting and the mining and the fishing. And here's old Sasquatch. Lines up his C-3PO R2-D2 59 Benson and Hedges Black & Decker revolver. And he's got eyes like a hairy monkey that eats bird's nests for snacks. And this guy lives in bird nest country. You think he doesn't go up into the trees at night and watch the sunset and eat bird eggs like they're popcorn? You're damn right he does. He's South School with his yacht. And here comes KFC right around the corner, his golden skin glistening in the Dallas sun. And here's Sasquatch with a glint in his eye. It's time for payback, baby. Yeah. 7 shots, maybe 8, maybe 10. Boom, 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 right into the KFC. Sasquatch has done his job. He's evened the playing field. He's taken back what he believes is his. And he turns and he hustles out of Dodge. He's done the job. He's assassinated the guy that's taking his land away. Starts lumbering across the grassy knoll, through the fields, through the trees, and he gets into the forest just as a bunch of cowboys happen to be filming in the forest. He's unaware of them, and he's walking like a guilty Sasquatch, looking over his shoulder to make sure nobody's watching him. And if you see that one hand go back, he swings it back. If they had moved the camera just over 4 feet, you probably would have seen Sasquatch throw a rifle onto the forest floor. Just boom, 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 right? You saw him, he does that one look back. Why is he looking back? The forest is that way. The Sasquatch is 15 feet tall. He has no predators. He has no enemies. Why was he looking back? Why was he looking back with that guilty? Because he shot KFC. He shot him dead. He shot him dead and splattered his brains all over Dallas, Texas. So now the government's got some covering up to do. What do we do with the killer Sasquatch? We say the shot was fired from a book suppository. Some lone gunman, some guy, apparently was a Russian agent, but yet he just lived a quiet life in the community. The Russians goaded him on to do it. No real motive, no real reason. And before he can have his trial and tell his story, they just conveniently pop him off. But now they got a problem, players. Now they got a problem. They got their gunmen. They got their gunmen roaming in the forest. They don't want people burning down the forest. They don't want people going on a manhunt for the Sasquatch. So what do? Well, something else happened in the 60s, just days after the assassination of KFC. Good old USA America took off for the moon. The first country ever to get to the moon. And now here's where the third part of the conspiracy theory gets tied together. Spacesuits, ladies and gentlemen. NASA spacesuits. You saw them, right? Big, giant, white suits with a bubble head, with a mirrored visor. Did you ever see who was inside the NASA spacesuits, the Apollo 11 spacesuits? I couldn't see through the visors. So now what do? You get the Sasquatch on the Apollo 11. You get his ass up to the moon where no one can track him. No one can hurt him. And he gets out of that spaceship. He walks down the ladder. And boom. What do we see? The first thing we see on the moon. An 18-inch space boot footprint. This is one small step for Sasquatch, one giant leap for Yeti kind. Ladies and gentlemen, they took Sasquatch and put him on the moon. He's up there. That's why you don't see him. That's why we've never found another footprint. Same size, the footprint in the forest, the footprint on the moon, they're the same size. Everything works in chronological order as I laid it out, ladies and gentlemen. Sasquatch assassinated John F. Kennedy, KFC, the crispiest, most delicious president we've ever had. The government covered it up. He was shot by Sasquatch. The government transported Sasquatch to the moon to cover it up. And that big, hairy space bastard lives up there now. Might as well be a space monkey. Whew. And now you can go through your days, through your life, and be clear. Be clear. Be rid of all this nonsense, all these ideas, all these theories, all these conspiracies floating around in your head. I just cleared it up. It's a no-brainer. You're welcome. Wow.
Hey, everybody. Check out my merchandise at harbling.com. Yeah, most people just slap some letters or images on a t-shirt or a hoodie, but not me. Yours truly. Guess what? I draw my own designs at harbling.com. You can see tons of my hand-drawn t-shirts. You can either buy the original or you can buy a print. And man, oh man, wear them loud and proud. I love making these designs for you guys and keeping it personal. So check out the whole catalog. We got hoodies, we got coffee mugs, we got t-shirts, you name it. It's there at harbling.com. Get your Harland original design, wearable art at harbling.com today. And thank you for your support. And I'll just keep the groovy images coming.
It's good to get that off the chest. You know, I've been holding on to that for so long. And tell your friends, just it's done. I want to switch gears. Speaking of space technology, there's this new technology, relatively new technology in Las Vegas called the Sphere. I don't know if you've seen it. It's this giant technological marvel. It's everyone that goes to it says it's beautiful. You go inside and U2's playing and rock bands and they're showing movies. And on the outside of this round sphere, this huge sphere, this thing's like, I don't know, 200 feet high or something, maybe more. They can project imagery onto the outside of the sphere. They can put the American flag. They can put a bunch of clouds floating by. They can put colors. They can put the moon and the stars. And they also did something that probably cost them dearly, because this thing was only up for about 5 months. And I was in Vegas. And while I was there, I'm a gamer. I'm a gamer from the 80s. I loved my video games from the 80s. Okay, some might say I was addicted. And I'm not proud of this, but the people who run the sphere, they projected an image, a full yellow image of Pac-Man. We all know Pac-Man, right? The big round circle, he goes around eating everything. It's like a pig. He's like Marie Osmond on a Thursday night at a Baskin-Robbins all-you-can-eat mint chocolate chip festival, right? And here I am, addicted, still maybe addicted to Pac-Man from the 80s. I'm walking around in the Vegas streets, and standing before me like a god, like a video game god, is a 200-foot-tall Pac-Man. And I got a lot of revenge built up. I lost a lot of quarters to that yellow freak. I dedicated a lot of time to that yellow freak. He just kept eating and eating, and he didn't age, but I got older. He burned up a lot of years of my life, and I always wanted to get him back. This is a real show about revenge right now. I promise the final story will be more uplifting, but right now, so here's this 200-foot Pac-Man. I'm in Vegas. I plan I go and rent a Hummer. You know, these vehicles, the Humvees, the big, like, Hummer. Arnold Schwarzenegger's a Hummer. I got to get the Hummer. I go and rent one of these. I go and I park. I park in the shadow of one of the casinos. I won't say which one. Won't say the Hooters Casino. But I park in the shadow and I wait for this giant, round, massive Pac-Man to show itself on the exterior of the sphere. And there's some clouds, there's a rainforest, there's the American flag, and I'm sitting there in the air-conditioned beauty of my Hummer, my rented Hummer. All of a sudden, the giant sphere turns yellow and turns into Pac-Man. Put her into drive, gun it. Daddy puts his pedal to the metal, puts his foot to the floor, because Daddy likes to ride hot. And I speed with everything I got under the hood of that Hummer, also the name of a sex act in West Hollywood. And I'm just burning up the asphalt. Old ladies diving out of my way. Their groceries up in the air, zucchinis, squash, gourds, pantyhose. Hundreds of old ladies. Boom, boom. I hit a few children. I knocked out some fire hydrants. Water spraying, old ladies are on top of the water spout screaming, their legs in the air with their creepy caramel colored nylon panties and their leggings and their, oh God. And I'm just, I got fire in my eyes. I like, look like I got two packs of Arby's horsey sauce and just squirted it in my eyes. There's flames. Arby's. Here comes the giant Pac-Man. Boom. Daddy hits the Pac-Man. I hit it so hard. Knocked the sphere. The Britney sphere right off its moorings. And now, Pac-Man, 200 feet tall, is rolling down the Las Vegas Strip. Eating casinos. Eating families. Eating children, eating stray dogs. Swallowing cats and spitting them out. Somehow it doesn't like pussy. And off it goes in the distance, cuts a hole through the mountains on the horizon line. Vegas destroyed. Countryside devastated. And as we speak right now, somewhere in this vast country of ours, Pac-Man cuts a swath through the communities, the valleys, the hills, the dales. Eating anything in its way. Destruction. Unmasked. So beware. Be careful. Pac-Man is out there. And it's all because of me. But I don't care. How's that? Well, how's that? I unleash horror on the world. And then right at the end, it says, I don't care. Yeah, Pac-Man's coming to eat your town, your village, your family. I don't care. Like the way I just threw it away, so nonchalant, so laissez-faire. So laissez-faire. Yeah. So? So what? So I unleashed Pac-Man on you. So what? We all gotta die? You want to die from a terminal illness? You want to drown in a river? You want to get hit by a bus? Or do you want to get up to heaven and tell all those other loser angels that you got swallowed by Pac-Man? Now that's a story, ladies and gentlemen. That's a story that angels will want to hear standing around the holy water cooler. The holy water cooler. All the angels, just you get the bragging rights. You get to speak of a death that no one has ever spoke of up there on those puffy ghost farts in the sky. So you're welcome. And if I want to say it like Nicolas Cage, I will. You're welcome.
Fuck, I did it. Fuck you. I did it normal way. I did it. I caged it. Caged it up. I uncaged it. Uncaged the cage. And I just thumbed it.
You're welcome.
Okay? I mean, folks, you can't stop this podcast. Look, I can play the theme music whenever I want. I can make a dopey noise. I can create suspense for no reason at all. What was once just a normal, calm, rational podcast is now teetering on the edge of what? Of the unknown. Of the mystery. Of the terror of what lies beyond. We went from complacency and normalcy, just another sunny day in the neighborhood, and now what manner of madness lurks beyond the horizon? Oh. See, this is what I'll do. And if you want to fuck with me, if you want to get in my grill, this is what you're going to get. So back down, walk backwards, Nacho. Grab an adult diaper, put it on your face, breathe it in real deep, and go puke on a manatee. I said it. What's that? Where are we? Who's there? What's happening? Are you on the Holland Highway Podcast? I don't know anymore. Everything's just gone completely mad. Oh my God. The suspense is killing me. See? Boom. See, you didn't see the second one coming. I'm a power player. Daddy likes to party. I'm a power player. Daddy not only gets up in your grill, Daddy gets up in your grilled cheese. I'll take the melted cheese. I'll stuff it in your artery. Watch you have a heart attack right in front of me, spasm around like a squirrel or a salamander that's just been side-clipped by a white van on its way to Dairy Queen with a bunch of demented children with braces on their eyes, and they don't know how to eat a dilly bar, and they're going to stick it in their eye repeatedly. So back off, move out, sift some sand in your dirty, dirty 1980s George Michael face, and puff a bag of cheese twirls, freaks. Wow. Let's get to our next story. This is our final story, and this is a story that I think, unlike the other two, some of you might not have been able to relate to, but this story is really something that has a universal theme. And let me just start by saying, isn't it funny how life moves in cycles? How forces can come together, unforeseen forces can come together, bits and pieces can come together to make a whole. And isn't that part of the beauty and charm of life? Disjointed moments in life somehow magically, serendipitously, somehow find their way to combine, to conjoin, and create a whole piece. And I want to share a story with you that really almost is hard to believe. It happened when two forces that are a big part of my life converged and made a whole and made me just go, wow. Wow, like, if you ever lose hope in life, if you ever get down, if you ever just kind of think you want to give up on life, no, because eventually things happen, things filter together, things float together, they find each other, they bond, they bind, and suddenly, somehow, the chaos of life makes perfect sense. Let's start with this. Those of you that know me, you know, there's two things in life that I adore, that I love, okay? One of them is New Year's Eve, noisemakers, party favors. You know, New Year's Eve. Woo! You know, the horns, and then my favorite one, the... You know, the little thing, it rolls out, you blow it, and then it like curls up and comes back. It goes, that one's my favorite. Just the motion, the unfurling, and it's like a fatty, some fatty up on Brokeback Mountain rolling out a sleeping bag, hoping that the night's going to be hot, spicy, and full of lasagna. Don't know what that meant. Don't know what that meant. We're going to clear the air with a little theme music. I'm just going to clear the image of a fat guy in a sleeping bag on Brokeback Mountain playing with a lasagna. Let's do it one more time, Matt, because I said it again, and wow. So I love New Year's Eve party favors. I'm a nut for them. I'm just a New Year's party favor nut. I'm a nut. I'm a party favor nut, okay? That's number one. I love them. Can't get enough of them. Doesn't even have to be New Year's, but it should be. The second thing I love, and you know this, you there, Carl Crinkle Fries over there in Delaware, and you over there, Peggy Punch My Face, little Peggy Punch My Face over there in Duluth, Minnesota, and all the way over in New Zealand, Samuel Stinkbomb Crack. How are you, gang? Some of my viewers. The second thing I love as much as New Year's Eve party favors is sea critters. Oh, do I love sea critters. Sea cucumbers, sea urchins or porcupine eggs, stingrays, manta rays. Have you seen the manta rays? Just they swim underwater. Unlike land birds, they've got wings made of meat. They've got these beautiful meat wings. I don't know if you've ever seen meat flapping underwater, but wow. Maybe over there at the Jenny Craig lap pool, you've seen a bit of meat flapping underwater, but I'm talking about the ones out in the wild ocean. I love me some sea cucumbers. I love me an octopi. And here's where the two forces in my life came together. I never thought it would happen. I'm at the beach recently. I'm down at the beach. I love a good day at the beach. The smell of sea urchin clit in the air, the breathing in the waft of sea turtle placenta. Oh, sea cucumber turd. I mean, just the smell of the beach. It's wonderful. Stepping on washed up tampons and bent heroin needles. Ah, just stop me. And I'm walking along the beach. Beautiful sunny day. I'm in my lemon lime Crocs. Okay. I don't know what color your Crocs are, but mine are lemon lime. Woohoo! You see, folks, the sneeze was unexpected. I didn't know what to do with it. And I know this from my comedy classes up at DeVry, that when you stumble on a little glitch during your performance, divert and distract. And did it masterfully. I shouldn't have even told you because it was seamless. I'm telling this story about the sea, the ocean. I'm painting a picture. I sneeze. I inhaled what? What did I inhale? A seed from a goldenrod. A spore from a pine tree. Some lycomeltin from a skunk-de-linkunk molecule conglunk-donctor. So I'm walking along the beach in my lemon-lime Crocs. I don't know what color yours are, but Daddy likes to party with the lemon-lime Croc, man. The Bamba Ross Croc, man. Everybody else take the color they want, but I'm going to have the Bamba Ross lemon-lime Croc on my feet, man. Blood clot, the rumba, rumba, bumba. So I'm walking along the beach in my lemon-lime Crocs, and I'm looking over my shoulder. I'm looking back like an autistic kid. because I like looking back. I like the tread marks that the lemon lime Crocs leave in the sand. There's just something about them. They're soothing. They're calming to me. There's a form to them that just, I don't know. It's like looking at a cheese grater through the eyes of a demented baby seal with Chinese coconut peppercorn teeth. So I'm walking along the beach, and as you know, the sea is full of critters. The sea is a mighty force. The sea is the pulse of the universe, of the planet, the never-ending heartbeat. Sounds like the ocean needs a sleep apnea machine, if I'm being honest. But you know what I'm talking about. The never-ending tide, the energy, the flow of the ocean. And I'm walking along, and I look down on the sparkling sand, and washed in on the foam of a wave, laying there, helpless on the sand, a seahorse. We all love seahorses. A tiny little seahorse, about yay big, with their long, pointy noses and their little curly tails. They're some of the most adorable horses you'll ever see. The only bald horses I know of. No hair, not one piece of hair on a seahorse. Every other horse, hairy as fuck. Or, as Nick Cage would say, hairy as fuck. So here's this seahorse laying on the sand. The ocean has given it back. A seahorse that cannot survive without the flow of the salty sea caressing and pouring over its lungs, its gills. And here it is, gasping, dying on the sand as I hover over it like a god in my lemon-lime Crocs. I'm not going to let this creature die. I'm not going to let it. I love sea creatures, I've already told you. And I reach down with my giant pomegranate peeling hands, and I scoop up the little seahorse. He lays in my hand, his little lungs slowly running out of oxygen. And I know that in that crucial moment, as he inhales his last breaths, I must administer mouth to mouth precipitation or whatever it is. I must help this little lovable sea creature live. And so I pick him up on his back and I lay him on my hand and I purse my lemon meringue pie sucking lips and I place them over the little nose of the seahorse. And I start breathing. And I breathe and I push my own oxygen into his lungs. And wouldn't you know, with every breath, his little curled up tail, like a New Year's Eve party favor, are you effing kidding me? The two things I love the most, New Year's Eve party favors, mainly the one you blow and the little thing rolls out, and sea critters. And I get a seahorse, I blow in his elongated nose, like a living, breathing sea New Year's Eve party favor. Salt, water, party favor, sea. And I looked down at my watch, and I went, oh my God, it's the last day of the year. It's New Year's Eve. And as the sun went down on the horizon, and the pink flamingos all flew to their gay bars, I sat there on the sand and blew life into this unsuspecting sea critter that had no idea the harmony, the bliss that it had created by conjoining my two loves in my life. New Year's Eve party favors and sea critters. I don't know why I did the noise. I'm not going to apologize. I didn't even like that. So there you go, folks. Just whatever is going on in your life, just know that life is mysterious. Life has a way of doing strange and amazing things. Life has a way of circling around, taking the elements that make your life worth living and somehow bringing them together. You've got to have that belief. You've got to have that faith. You've got to have that knowing deep inside you that life finds its way. You're here for a reason. Life provides the answers. Life provides joy. Whew. And on that note, I think we'll wrap it up. I think we got through a lot. I think all of us probably need therapy. But here we are nonetheless. And I want to thank you again. I want to thank you for watching the podcast. Please tell your friends about it. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please just hit that subscribe button. And if this episode terrified you, please don't hit unsubscribe. Just stay there. Other better episodes will come around. This one was a real toughie. This one was real tough. This one was real hard. Real hard. While you're there, check out my stand-up comedy schedule at harlandwilliams.com. You can see all my tour dates. I'm touring around the country, so I might be coming to your city or town, I guarantee. harlandwilliams.com. Also, go to harbling.com and check out my hand-drawn t-shirts. I draw them all myself right onto the t-shirt. A lot of fun designs. I think you'll like them. If you want a personal video message from me that resembles what you just saw here today, you can go to the Cameo app and type my name in at Cameo, and you can request me to make a personal video for you. It can be for a birthday, an anniversary, a funeral, a graduation. It could just be a pep talk. People hit me up all the time on Cameo and just say, Harlan, give me a pep talk. Or they ask me about certain topics or advice, or they just want me to give them a laugh. So it's right there. And then if you want to call in, oh my God, we have a phone number where if you want to leave a message, you might get on the Harlan Highway podcast. It's 323-696-0222. 323-696-0222. And we might put your voice message on the podcast. That you can say whatever you want. Talk about whatever you want, ask whatever you want. Now they don't all get on. We get a lot of them, so we sort of have to pick through, but don't give up, and don't be offended if we don't get you, because we have a lot. Well, there's no possible way we could put all of them on, but we love hearing from you regardless. And also, we also have the Harland Highway merchandise store on the YouTube page, right underneath where the video plays. We have a store where you can buy Harland Highway merchandise, t-shirts, coffee mugs, stickers, hoodies, all kinds of cool stuff. And again, I can't thank y'all enough for being here. Yoo-hoo. Boy, I cannot thank y'all enough for watching the podcast. But that's it for today. Folks, I hope you had a good time. I hope you learned a lot. I know I did. Let's hit the theme music. We'll be back next time for more fun, more frolic. We got some more great guests coming up. We also have another episode where it's all dedicated to your phone calls. So like I said, phone in and leave a message. And I love having you here. Love doing the show. And until next time. Chicken chow mein, baby.